our entire body, our entire self, our entire life. Everything is controlled and owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our eye is given by Allah and is in the control of Allah. The hands are given to us by Allah and are in under the control of Allah. Every part, every limb, every organ of the body. If we pay attention, who is the Malik of our body? Who owns our body? It is the Malik al-Haqiqi, the true creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Malik of our body and every part of our body. And this has been given to us. Allah created our body and the parts of the body and gave them to us. The eyes, the hands, the mouth, the ears, the feet, the legs, the arms. And in such a way, in such a manufacturing method, Allah Ta'ala says, أَحْسَنُ taqweem, that I have decorated and given you the beautiful body. So Allah Ta'ala says, it's mine, I am the Malik, and we utilize the body. The eye is utilized by us. Allah gave us the eyes and we use the eyes. We use the hands, but the is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We own a house, for example, and somebody uses my house. Will you let him use your house for free? No. You will charge that person. You will charge that person and say, for this much time, I will charge you this much. Now Allah Ta'ala doesn't take any money from us. Is there any council tax that we pay to Allah? Does an angel ever come and demand us that this is your meter, the eye meter, or your leg meter, or your feet meter, or these organs of your body have been used too much today, so here's the meter for each organ, and this is the count, and this is the bill. Huh? That this is how much you've used the body, so pay this much tax. Allah Ta'ala says everything is free for you, for your benefit, no differentiation, no takhshish, whether you believe in Allah or not, you have, whether you are strange or not. So we are all benefiting from what Allah Ta'ala has created and what He has given to us. Every human being in the world is benefiting from what Allah Ta'ala has given to him, the body, the life. But there should be a difference. There should definitely be a difference for those people who understand. If we accept only one thing, that the eye is for looking at and nothing else, no. If we say the hands are just for earning or to keep busy in the world, if we just have this understanding, this single lane thinking, or our legs are just for running around in the world to earn, then what's the difference between us and those who don't understand, who are not aware? In reality, this isn't the case. Every juz, every part of the body has a great, great value. The hand is not just worth this action that we earn money or dunya or eat chapatis or food or bread or drink water with the hands. This is not what Allah Ta'ala created the hands for. This is a cheap use of the hand. Cheap use. Allah says this hand is so valuable, so precious. It's a treasure chest. It's a treasure chest. Very valuable, but we don't appreciate what is the function of the hand. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith. May Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith is narrated in Ahmad, the collection Ahmad, that the human being, when he leaves his home and goes to the masjid, and he sets forth towards the masjid, right, left, right, left, the legs, right, left, you know, like the machine that moves the parts of the machine. So the body, the legs, the feet move. Then his feet, the strides he's taking are not the same. You know what he was doing from the morning, using his feet, going out, in, going to the shop, buying meat, buying vegetables, buying fruit, going to work. From morning till evening, these feet and legs are used for this. Going here, going there, meeting this person, run that way, this way. Yeah? But when he departs home to go to the masjid, then the value and the utilization of the legs is different. The same legs, the same feet. It's the same feet, the same shoes, the same strides. But now the whole effect changes. The scenario changes. When he sets forth towards the masjid, Allah's home, and the legs are working to get to the house of Allah, then the position and the status of the legs is different. Those strides don't remain so. Rather, straight away two angels come to that person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two angels. And then a chart is made for the strides he's taking. Alhamdulillah. So the angels, they take his strides into their protection. and ownership. And the value of his strides are so massive and great that those same strides that no one was asking us from morning, no one cared. So valuable come your strides, your footsteps, that from the heavens, that on every foot they make a chart and account, and they open the file. And one foot you go towards the masjid, one angel writes the deed, then the next footstep you take, and then it forgives the sin. It strikes out the sin. Same foot, same legs. You went to buy the meat, you went to the meat shop, to the vegetable shop, to the grocery shop. Difference that when your feet and strides are now embarking on their objective, look at the difference. Same legs, same feet. But when you start going to the house of Allah, then the value of your footsteps is different. Their condition is different. And the nuraniyat, the light in your footsteps is different. Their status is different. Their rank is different. The angels are looking at your legs, your feet, your movement. They are heavenly angels. They're making a report. Allah, this many strides, this many footsteps. If the masjid is 1 mile away, then you do the analysis and the count and investigation that what will be the value of all the strides you took to the masjid. How many sins will be removed and how many deeds will come to your accounts. And you don't even know, because all you did was change the niyyah and the objective of your footsteps. Okay, so you're still going to the masjid now. Now you know that your footstep is going just like a went to the shop to earn money to work. Those same footsteps that you were taking to go to the dunya, or went to a shopping center to buy this, the value is the same if we have the niyyah and the understanding that I'm going to the house of Allah. But we don't understand this. This is the hadith that teaches us. We don't read. We don't understand. Suddenly, the scenario has changed. Now he goes into the masjid. He's entered into the house of Allah by routine. By routine, he's entered into the masjid, prayed salah. When salah finishes, he then turns back to go home. Same action. So coming rahmah and going home rahmah. Coming to the masjid mercy, departing from the masjid mercy and earning. So he doesn't go empty handed. His footsteps. Reason being why? Because his footsteps were now connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand the point? His feet, his strides, his legs created a connection with Allah. So their rank, status and energy and reward started to increase. 95% of people who pray salah, they rush, they run away. After salah, they go. They depart quickly. And alhamdulillah, in that masjid where they came, Allah Ta'ala liked our actions, our niyyah. It all hinges on niyyah, on the love, on the muhabbat. Then you see a majlis, it started to gather and form. A dini religious gathering started to gather and develop. So not everybody ran off in such a majlis where there is elevation of spirituality. This is called a dini majlis. Spiritual increase and knowledge increase. And if such a gathering is formed in the house of Allah, just like you've come now, you've prayed salah, and this is a majlis now you've seen. This is an Islamic majlis where we're sitting. There's ilm here, there's amal here, and there's spirituality here. There's knowledge, there's practice, and there's spirituality. So this is the gathering of Allah, and you get the reward for that on top. And we say, okay, oh look, there's a gathering. Let's sit down. What difference does it make? Allah Ta'ala has brought me to his home. He sat me down. 95% have departed from the masjid. They finish salah and they depart. They leave. But there are a few percentage of the brothers who, alhamdulillah, want to go more towards Allah. And what is that name of Allah? Time. Time. So they use their body, they crush their desires, they suppress their desires. They say, I'm not going to leave the masjid door. Okay, there's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour till the next salah. I'll sell this time to Allah. I gave the whole day for the dunya, now I give this time to Allah. So Allah suddenly uplifts that time. Uplifts that time. You sit down. Are you in pain? Are you in trouble? Is it time to eat or drink? Have you got trouble or problems? Nothing. But just for a few minutes, you isolated yourself from the dunya. You shunned the dunya. You detached yourself from the dunya. And you assigned yourself and your time to Allah. Then when you assigned yourself to Allah, what did Allah say in response? Has Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. In Tabarani, he narrates a hadith. That when a person, he does something where he allocates a bit of time to his Lord, and he sets forth and gives a few footsteps to his Lord, and he gives a bit of time to his Lord and sits in the majlis. What is the reward? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that when that individual goes and joins the majlis, he gets the whole reward of one complete hajj. One complete hajj. Oh, we're sinners, bad situation in life, tight situation in life, but look how suddenly the value of the human being elevates. Look, he doesn't pray, he's a sinner, he's a zani, he's an adulterer, he drinks alcohol, sharab, he sins all day, he disobeys Allah. But when he sees the majlis, he doesn't know what's happening, but he thinks, he suddenly flips his thoughts. And then when he opens his envelope of deeds, he says, Allah, where's this hajj reward come from? I didn't even do hajj. Allah will say, no, you had a bit of time, you had 15-20 minutes, you assigned that time for me. You didn't even understand what that majlis was, that gathering, dhikr,
ذكر علم. You sat down, Allah said, I made you sit down, you had value for that time, and you assigned your whole body, your organs, your limbs, and you gave them to me. Allah says, I gave you the Hajj thawab at that time. And that's the Hajj you are seeing now as your reward. Subhanallah. And then think. The thawab of that majlis. That majlis, whatever link it has to Allah, the strength it has in and the connection to Allah, the thawab, the reward will be extra on top of that. That's separate reward. And the rewards are on different darajat and levels. Now we see that now this has just happened to us. We came to the house of Allah, we got the reward. We stopped in the house of Allah, we got the reward of Hajj. Now let's see what's the separate reward for this majlis. What is the title of this majlis? What do we call this majlis? Dhikr Allah. The majlis is dhikr. The dhikr gathering. We're sitting for this reason, aren't we? That we will perform Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith in Sahih Tirmidhi, a Sahih hadith. The Sahaba Karam were sitting, gathered together. Their noble companions radiyallahu anhu. And one companion requested to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a unique question. Look at his taste, his enjoyment. He suddenly asked a question for the benefit of the Ummah. He said, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that from all of mankind, who is the greatest? From all of mankind, who is the highest? And on the day of judgment, who will be closest? On the day of judgment, who will be closest and best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Closest to Allah and the best in the eyes of Allah. What a great question, huh? What a valuable question from this sahabi. Afdal, who is the greatest person in the eyes of Allah? And on the day of judgment of Prophet Allah, who will be the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa looked at his sahabi. Wah, my companion, what a question. What a question. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give long speeches. He used to summarize concise answers, brief answers encapsulating the whole deen. His answer would encapsulate the whole deen. Now look at this question. This question was for us today, definitely. Huh? Over a millennium ago, the question was asked, who's closest to Allah on the day of judgment? Who will be the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is what we need, isn't it? This is what all of us need. This question is relevant to us. So the answer that Rasulullah gave, should we practice that or not? I ask you. Should we practice it or not? I ask you. It's such a big question. And the answer that comes, we need to delve and ponder of this answer. Because the answer that's given by the Prophet ﷺ will have the greatest value, the greatest price tag. So if the person practices that, he will be the greatest insan in this world and closest to Allah on the day of judgment. Both titles. Allah's Nabi ﷺ replied to his companion. What did he reply? What did he reply? Allahu Akbar. The person who does dhikr of Allah in abundance, the man and the woman who do dhikr kathir in abundance. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, kathir, man or woman, in abundance, in high quantity, his reward will be such that he is closest to Allah, he is great in this world, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the day of judgment, he will be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That man and woman, that sister and brother, who do dhikr of Allah in abundance. So, mashallah, these rewards, brothers, Allah ta'ala has explained to us in a sequence. First, Allah give us legs, feet, we sacrifice our time and our energy, we go to Allah ta'ala's home. For a little bit of time, after salah, we gave our time to Allah. Allah gave us the reward of Hajj. Then we sat down in the majlis of dhikr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us such a reward that if you do dhikr kathir and kathira, regular, this is the point, consistent, and you keep coming to dhikr and sit in dhikr, then the reward you'll get, you'll be afdal, in my eyes, the greatest person and closest to me on the day of judgment. Brothers, look at this. What's the root denominator here? All of these actions and the rules have a link that whenever you do anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's a small action, suddenly, immediately Allah gives the ajr. The reward comes immediate. So what should we do, brothers? Summary of all of this we've discussed, that no second of life, not one second of life, not one moment of life, not one phase of life should there be that is not linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one second, moment, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hour, half day, full day, my voice, our words, our actions. And the reason for me to talk today is that today in this world we are lazy, sust, we forget our objective, our destination, where we're going. Everything will become gold, brothers. Everything will become gold. Allah has created us, and alongside Allah, Ta'ala has given us iman. So this is the most valuable thing. Brothers, give your footsteps for Allah. If on the footsteps Allah gives such a great reward, make your objective, make a law, a principle of life, that Allah, everything I will do, I will assign to you. Everything will be done for your sake. Allah, this is for your sake.
This action I'm doing is for you. I wouldn't do it, it's for you. For your sake I'm doing this. Everything then becomes ibadah for you. Ibadah. Otherwise, there's the masjid. Everything can become useless, a waste, and be wasted. Isn't it being wasted today? So many things are wasted. The same things that can give us reward, the same feet we use today. If we don't take them towards Allah's home, we're wasting our footsteps all our life. Walking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went to the masjid, the masajid, wherever there's a masjid, whatever, wherever he's sitting in the masjid in the house of Allah, wherever he's in the world. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw there were some people in the masjid laughing. They were talking and laughing in the house of Allah. Yani, when a person wastes something, then he wastes everything, even if he's in the house of Allah, because he has no appreciation, value, qadr. No respect. We don't have respect for our eyes, for our hands, for our tongue. What's the value of my tongue? My eyes, my hands. Allah's given me organs. What's the value? We think all of this is for dunya? To earn dunya? Every single organ, limb, part of the body is a treasure for the hereafter. So now let's take the house of Allah, the masjid. How great is the house of Allah? So these people who Rasulullah saw, this is at that time, that generation today. Today, oof, is so common in the masajid. You go to mosques, into masjids, where salah finishes, you see the clamor, the noise, laughing, joking. You can't even see the house of Allah. It's changed suddenly. It's like a community center. Yeah? So what happens? We see that Rasulullah, when he saw them talking and laughing, suddenly Rasulullah stopped. And just when he addressed them, Rasulullah's style at that time was jalal, passion. He was, enraged. When he was in the strict emotion, he said, "Oh men, I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my jaan, my life." Who's saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spoke like this. He introduced the discussion like this with them. That I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my life. You were to know what I know, then remember. You would forget laughing and you would not stop crying. This is the reality of your situation now, what you are doing. What have you forgotten? Maut. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu said, you have forgotten your death. You have forgotten your death. Aha. So brothers, at the time of death, after dying, a person when he's died, at the day of Hashar, judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, the time of punishment, when we are stood in front of Allah, presented with our accounts in front of Allah, nobody will remember then the laughter. Ah, we're here laughing, joking. Eh? Wasting time, no respect for the masjid, for the house of Allah, for life, for the seconds, for the days, for the months. We don't understand what is our value. Every second a person should be aware Allah is watching. Every second a person should be in that position, in his brain, in his heart, in his mind, from dawn to sunset. Not a second, not an hour should be empty from Allah's awareness, His service, doing actions for Him, and His remembrance. Okay, you're working, you got a job, you're farming, plowing in the office, fine. But do it in that style that your heart is linked to Allah. You're honest, you're aware of Allah, He's watching you. You do the work properly, justly, fairly. Then the person becomes high in this dunya and in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. That this is the majlis of dhikr as I requested. It's a very valuable gathering. As I mentioned, very valuable. And we should try to attend a majlis of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, as much as possible. Why? Because you're giving this time to Allah. When you allocate something to Allah, then Allah repays that in a massive amount, without a limit, in His unique style. Allah says, you, my human being, you left your time. You didn't feel like it. You didn't even feel like it. You wanted to enjoy yourself and run around and do it. Your heart didn't even want to go to the masjid. You didn't want to sit in dhikr. And you didn't want to go. You didn't plan to go. You had no passion, no desire. But even then you left and said, oh, okay, Allah, come to your house. Allah says, I'm so happy that time, I give you more. I give you more reward. That he tried his best, this person. Okay, there's one man, he comes, he prays, he gets used to it. He's coming, he gets the reward. But Allah Ta'ala appreciates and gives reward more to that person. Allah says, bring that person forward. Sit him in the front, give him the reward first. That he came to my house in this way. He's my first guest. He had respect and he shunned his desires to come to my home. Allah says, give him more reward. Allah Ta'ala respects that person, that human being, who sacrifices his time and gives it to Allah. So a person, when he comes first to the majlis of dhikr, and he sees the gathering, the alamat, the words, the discussion, this is why we share, this is why we revise the hadith. You'll hear some hadith many times over, but we're revising them. So inside us, that taqwa increases, that Allah, I'm taking a lot with me. If today I didn't come,
then what would I have got? Nothing. My nafs, the desires would have been fulfilled. But so many things now I'll take from this gathering, isn't it? Now you see, look. If a person didn't come to this gathering, from all of you, look how many rewards, walking to the masjid, the hajj reward for being in the house of Allah. Think, when the hajj reward would be in your book of deeds, an accepted hajj, the thawab of the accepted hajj, then he will be amazed. The individual will say, Allah, I just went by chance to the masjid, I didn't feel like it. And my Allah says, you by chance went, by my rahmah is no chance. You by chance stumble into the masjid, by my rahmah it doesn't stumble on nothing. I accepted your coming and give you hajj reward. So brothers, life is the life of mujahida. Strive, work hard, make effort, that understand every minute, am I doing this? Is this useful or not useful? That's why the ulama, the scholars explain to us, understand, realize that what is useful and what is useless. So you can make your balance sheet into the positive, the profitable, that this is useful and this is useless. So inshallah, after today, Thursday night, promise, say inshallah loudly, inshallah. So come to dhikr, inshallah. Even if your nafs is strongly stopping you, remember these three hadith. One is the footsteps to the masjid, the reward. Sitting down in the house of Allah, the hajj reward. Subhanallah, when you go back, same reward for the footsteps. And alongside majlis of dhikr, as I said, you will become afzal, greatest in the world in the eyes of Allah. And on the day of judgment, you'll be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else do we want? What else do we want? Even if we get the whole universe and the billions, nothing compares. Inshallah, we'll meet again next Thursday night. Inshallah, recite Durood Sharif.